Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Today is December 2nd. I'm Brian. Greetings to you from Colorado. It's beautiful out here in, I guess, what I would consider my home away from home. I love Colorado, and I'm glad that you could be here with me. Today would have been my father's 69th birthday, and so I have fond thoughts and memories. He loved the mountains too. He loved the Appalachian Mountains. He loved the Smoky Mountains. He loved nature and the mountains. And so I remember him fondly today. Look forward to the day of when we will meet again. We're reading from The Message this week, Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 through 11, verse 1 today. Darius, son of Ahasuerus, born a Mede, became king over the land of Babylon. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was meditating on the scriptures that gave, according to the word of God, to the prophet Jeremiah, the number of years that Jerusalem had to lie in ruins, namely 70. I turned to the Master God, asking for an answer, praying earnestly, fasting from meals, wearing rough penitential burlap and kneeling in the ashes. I poured out my heart, bearing my soul to God. My God, O Master, great and august God, you never waver in your covenant commitments, never give up on those who love you and do what you say. Yet we have sinned in every way imaginable. We've done evil things, rebelled, dodged, and taken detours around your clearly marked paths. We've turned a deaf ear to your servants, the prophets, who preached your word to our kings and leaders, our parents, and all the people in the land. You have done everything right, Master, but all we have to show for our lives is guilt and shame. The whole lot of us, people of Judah, citizens of Jerusalem, Israel at home and Israel in exile, and all the places we've been banished to because of our betrayal of you. Oh yes, God, we've been exposed in our shame, all of us, our kings, leaders, parents, before the whole world, and deservedly so because of our sin. Compassion is our only hope, the compassion of you, the Master, our God. Since in our rebellion we've forfeited our rights, we paid no attention to you when you told us how to live. The clear teaching that came through your servants, the prophets. All of us in Israel ignored what you said. We defied your instructions and did what we pleased, and now we're paying for it. The solemn curse, written out plainly in the revelation to God's servant Moses, is now doing its work among us. The wages of our sin against you. You did to us and our rulers what you said you would do. You brought this catastrophic disaster on us, the worst disaster on record, and in Jerusalem. Just as written in God's revelation to Moses, the catastrophe was total. Nothing was held back. We kept at our sinning, never giving you a second thought, oblivious to your clear warning, and so you had no choice but to let the disaster loose on us in full force. You, our God, had a perfect right to do this since we persistently and defiantly ignored you. Master, you are our God, for you delivered your people from the land of Egypt in a show of power. People are still talking about it. We confess that we have sinned, that we have lived bad lives, following the lines of what you have always done and setting things right, setting people right. Please, stop being so angry with Jerusalem, your very own city, your holy mountain. We know it's our fault that this has happened, all because of our sins and our parents' sins. And now, we're an embarrassment to everyone around us. We're a blot on the neighborhood. So listen, God, to this determined prayer of your servant. Have mercy on your ruined sanctuary. Act out of who you are, not out of what we are. Turn your ears our way, God, and listen. Open your eyes and take a long look at the ruined city. This city named after you. We know that we don't deserve a hearing from you. Our appeal is to your compassion. This prayer is our last and only hope. Master, listen to us. Master, forgive us. Master, look at us and do something. Master, don't put us off. Your city and your people are named after you. You have a stake in us. While I was pouring out my heart, bearing my sins and the sins of my people Israel, praying my life out before my God, interceding for the holy mountain of my God, while I was absorbed in this praying, the human-like Gabriel, the one I had seen in an earlier vision, approached me, flying in like a bird about the time of evening worship. He stood before me and said, "Daniel, I have come to make things plain to you. You had no sooner started your prayer when the answer was given, and now I'm here to deliver the answer to you. You are much loved, so listen carefully to the answer, the plain meaning of what is revealed. 77s are set for your people and for your holy city to throttle rebellion, stop sin, wipe out crime, set things right forever. Confirm what the prophet saw, and anoint the Holy of Holies. Here is what you must understand. From the time the word goes out to rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of the anointed leader, there will be 7 sevens. The rebuilding will take 62 sevens, including building streets and digging a moat. These will be rough times. After the 62 sevens, the anointed leader will be killed. The end of him. The city and sanctuary will be laid in ruins by the army of the newly arriving leader. The end will come in a rush, like a flood. War will rage right up to the end. Desolation, the order of the day. Then, for 1 seven, he will forge many and strong alliances. But halfway through the 7, he will banish worship and prayers. At the place of worship, a desecrating obscenity will be set up and remain until finally the desecrator himself is decisively destroyed. In the 3rd year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, a message was made plain to Daniel, whose Babylonian name was Belteshazzar. The message was true. It dealt with a big war. He understood the message, the understanding coming by revelation. During those days, I, Daniel, went into mourning over Jerusalem for 3 weeks. I ate only plain and simple food, no seasoning or meat or wine. I neither bathed nor shaved until the 3 weeks were up. On the 24th day of the 1st month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. I looked up and, to my surprise, saw a man dressed in linen with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body was hard and glistening, as if sculpted from a precious stone. His face radiant, his eyes bright and penetrating like torches, his arms and feet glistening like polished bronze, and his voice deep and resonant, sounded like a huge choir of voices. I, Daniel, was the only one to see this. The men who were with me, although they didn't see it, were overcome with fear and ran off and hid, fearing the worst. Left alone after the appearance, abandoned by my friends, I went weak in the knees. The blood drained from my face. I heard his voice. At the sound of it, I fainted, fell flat on the ground, face in the dirt. A hand touched me and pulled me to my hands and knees. "Daniel," he said, "man of quality, listen carefully to my message and get up on your feet. Stand at attention. I've been sent to bring you news." When he had said this, I stood up, but I was still shaking. "Relax, Daniel," he continued, "don't be afraid. From the moment you decided to humble yourself to receive understanding, your prayer was heard and I set out to come to you. But I was waylaid by the angel prince of the kingdom of Persia and was delayed for a good 3 weeks. But then Michael, one of the chief angel princes, intervened to help me. I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and now I'm here to help you understand what will eventually happen to your people. The vision has to do with what's ahead. While he was saying all this, I looked at the ground and said nothing. Then I was surprised by something like a human hand that touched my lips. I opened my mouth and started talking to the messenger. When I saw you, Master, I was terror-stricken. My knees turned to water. I couldn't move. How can I, a lowly servant, speak to you, my master? I'm paralyzed. I can hardly breathe. Then this human-like figure touched me again and gave me strength. He said, "Don't be afraid, friend. Peace. Everything is going to be all right. Take courage. Be strong." Even as he spoke, courage surged up within me. I said, "Go ahead, let my master speak. You've given me courage." He said, "Do you know why I've come here to you? I now have to go back to fight against the angel prince of Persia. And when I get him out of the way, the angel prince of Greece will arrive. But first, let me tell you what's written in the true book. No one helps me in my fight against these beings except Michael, your angel prince. And I, in my turn, have been helping him out as best as I can ever since the first year in the reign of Darius the Mede." First John 2:18 through 3:6. Children, time is just about up. You heard that Antichrist is coming. Well, they're all over the place. Antichrist's everywhere you look. That's how we know that we're close to the end. They left us, but they were never really with us. If they had been, they would have stuck it out with us, loyal to the end. In leaving, they showed their true colors, showed they never did belong. But you belong. The Holy One anointed you, and you all know it. I haven't been writing this to tell you something you don't know, but to confirm the truth you do know and to remind you that the truth doesn't breed lies. So who is lying here? It's the person who denies that Jesus is the divine Christ. That's who. This is what makes an antichrist. Denying the Father. Denying the Son. No one who denies the Son has any part with the Father, but affirming the Son is an embrace of the Father as well. Stay with what you heard from the beginning. The original message. Let it sink into your life. If what you heard from the beginning lives deeply in you, you will live deeply in both Son and Father. This is exactly what Christ promised. Eternal life. Real life. I've written to warn you about those who are trying to deceive you, but they're no match for what is embedded deeply within you. Christ's anointing, no less. You don't need any of their so-called teaching. Christ's anointing teaches you the truth on everything you need to know about yourself and Him, uncontaminated by a single lie. Live deeply in what you were taught. And now, children, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for Him when He appears, ready to receive Him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when He arrives. Once you're convinced that He is right and righteous, you'll recognize that all who practice righteousness are God's true children. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. But friends, that's exactly who we are. Children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him. And in seeing him, become like him. All of us who look forward to his coming stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own. All who indulge in a sinful life are dangerously lawless, for sin is a major disruption of God's order. Surely, you know that Christ showed up in order to get rid of sin. There is no sin in him, and sin is not part of his program. No one who lives deeply in Christ makes a practice of sin. None of those who do practice sin have taken a good look at Christ. They've got them all backward. Psalm 121, 1 through 8, a pilgrim song. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. Proverbs 28, 27 and 28. Be generous to the poor. You'll never go hungry. Shut your eyes to their needs and run a gauntlet of curses. When corruption takes over, good people go underground. But when the crooks are thrown out, it's safe to come out. So being here in the Rocky Mountains in December, snow up on the mountains, cold, crisp, beauty, the psalm today speaks particularly eloquently. And I feel like it's one of those days where I'd love to read that again. I don't know that I could possibly say anything more profoundly meaningful to me right now based on what I'm looking at. But I don't know that I could think of anything more beautiful to encourage us in our walk with Christ today. Yesterday, we kind of took the water in the face, right? The cold jolt, like, okay, it's an all or nothing proposition. And we discussed the freedom in that, the beauty in that. And I feel like the psalm just so wonderfully describes the beauty of letting go, of simply saying, I am all in. I don't care anymore what anyone thinks. I don't care what anything looks like. I am all the way with God. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God is your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always.
I lift up my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, Maker of heaven, Maker of earth. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. He won't let your foot be moved, and he will never slumber. He that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, Maker of heaven, Maker of earth. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. The sun won't strike you by day, nor the moon by night. I lift up my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord.